Well, hey, good morning, Cross City. How are you? All right. I'm glad that you made it here. You're actually here. You're here. I mean, because last night, our online attendance numbers were twice the amount of normal. And so they were also this morning at our 9 o'clock service. But you are all here at the service. And I just want to say happy almost New Year and happy belated Christmas, everybody, right? We're still having a little bit of a Christmas hangover here at Cross City. You can tell, there's still a mess back there behind me in the manger. And the reason is because if you were here on Christmas weekend in our Christmas Eve services, we set an all-time Christmas attendance record at Cross City. 4,400 people here on Christmas Eve and over 8,000 for the weekend. And I just want to say thank you, everybody, for making it an awesome Christmas here at Cross City. Pastor David wants to say hello, and he's not here today. He's actually in mourning. For those of you that know, poor David is an Oklahoma Sooner fan. And Pastor Trevor, our worship pastor, is an Alabama fan. So Trevor's still doing the happy dance, and David is not. So pray for unity among our staff and our spiritual leadership, not for division. No, but it's always an honor to be able to fill in for Pastor David. We're kicking off this teaching series that he and I were talking about a while back, and we were trying to envision, okay, so if you're getting ready to make some New Year's resolutions, if you're getting ready to start out a new year, and whether you're new in your faith, you're kicking the tires of faith, or you are just sold out for Christ and you're wanting to continue to become a more mature follower of him, there are these things that we need to do in our life to remain spiritually thriving or charged. I grew up in a home, and I'll say, in the 70s and 80s, where when we would get Christmas gifts and Christmas presents, a lot of times they would come with two very scary words on the box. One of them would say, "With some assembly required." Do you remember those, everybody? Which meant you're going to spend your entire Christmas break putting these things together. And the other one was batteries not what included, yeah. But if someone really loved you, they would tape some batteries on the package, and sometimes they were wrong, but regardless, it was the thought that counted. Now today, we don't really have that as much anymore. Things come kind of assembled most of the time, and most things come charged or pre-charged, whether it's a device or an iPad or a phone or drone or camera battery, whatever it is. You know that when you open it up, the chances are pretty good for the consumer experience. It's going to have a charge. It's going to be ready to go. And it got us thinking that that's a little bit what happens for Christ followers, that there are the time in our life when we become fully alive in Christ, when we surrender our life to Christ and we give our life to him, we begin to follow the owner's manual, God's word. And there begins to be some assembly required. There's a rearranging of our priorities, and we begin to live our life for him. Our purpose and our direction, why we do what we do, is kind of directed by his goal and his plan for our life. It's not too unsimilar to that of when we get a device and on a weekly basis. It almost always happens this way, that you think you plugged in your phone that night. You could have sworn you did, and then you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, and you got 20% left. And the rest of the day, you're looking over your shoulder wondering if you're going to run out of battery juice and if people are going to think that you fell off the planet because they can't find you because you're your friend, right? And so Pastor Dave and I were talking about this, that what would it be like if we use the analogy of like a power cord? What would it be like if we use the analogy of battery life and we began to look at being fully plugged in spiritually in our faith for the next year? What would that look like? So for the purposes of this teaching series, I just want to acknowledge the fact there are probably some of you that are here this morning and you're not where you want to be spiritually. There are others of you that you're here this morning, you're not where you want to be physically, emotionally, relationally. I'm pretty convinced there are some of you parents that you're here this morning to finally get away from your kids after being alone with them in a house for the last 3 days. You feel like a full-time line chef and like a activities director. You're just trying to keep them out of your hair and out of prison, right? You're here. I mean, your motivation today was to put pants on, and we're glad that you did. Thanks for wearing pants to church. Wherever you are, relationally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, we're glad that you're here. And so for this analogy today, what I wanted to do is I just wanted to acknowledge that what we need to do to remain plugged in spiritually, and by plugged in, I just literally mean it's like when we worship God. When we worship God, we are plugged into the source. And that source changes everything for us. I guess you could say, and I don't know, it could be wrong, but there's probably one word, one phrase, one concept that's at the center and the heart of God. And it's this idea of worship. So if you have your notes, if you have your Bible, what I wanted to have you do is I wanted to have you turn with me to the Old Testament book of Psalms. Now, for those of you that have the old school Bible like I do, you can just turn to the middle of your Bible and you can turn to the left a couple chapters and you'll come to Psalm 100. Psalm 100 is a song. It was written by David. And the song is all about worship. Actually, the book of Psalms is all about worship. If you think about it, if the book of Psalms is in the middle of God's word for us, it's the middle of his heart for us, it's probably God's wanting to get our attention. And maybe it's a great way for us to end this year and begin the new year. So if you would follow along with me here as I read Psalm 100. It's five verses. Shout for joy to the Lord. Everybody say shout. Worship the Lord with gladness. Everyone say worship. Come before him with a joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Say thanksgiving. And courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. Everyone say good. The Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Would we be honored and blessed by the reading of God's word? But would we also hopefully get some truth and some application of how we can live this out and remain plugged in this next year with our worship with God? Hey, I've got some good news and some bad news. You want to hear the bad news first? Okay, good. So the bad news is that I've got a couple more points than normal. Normally, I'm like a one-point guy, right? Big idea, get you out of here. If I'm really feeling moved by the Spirit, I'll do three. But I got bad news. I got five for you today. That's the bad news. But the good news is we're going to get you out of here pretty quick, okay? So if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you the big idea for the message. If we're going to be plugged in, if we're going to be fully charged spiritually this next year, it starts with our worship of the Lord. If you would, write that word down. It's on your app or it's there in your notes. It's the worship of the Lord. We get that from this first verse of chapter 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Now, this idea of worship is at the very heart of God's desire for us. That's the one thing God can't do, is he can't worship himself. But he loves it when his kids worship him. He's all about our affection and our attention. He's a jealous God. Did you know that? At the very heart of who he is, he does not want to share our worship with anybody. He wants it all. He had a group of people called the Israelites, and he had a leader by the name of Moses, and he took Moses on top of this mountain called Sinai, and he gave Moses these 10 suggestions. Actually, they're commandments. And little known fact, the first four of those 10 commandments all have to do with worship. In Exodus chapter 20, the first commandment was, "You shall have no other gods before me." Commandment number 2, you shall not bow down to other idols or worship them, for I'm a jealous God. Number 3, you shall not misuse my name. Number 4, you shall keep the Sabbath day, what, church? Holy. So some of you are like, well, okay, we're keeping the Sabbath day holy. We're good with that, and I don't take the Lord's name in vain as much anymore. But this whole thing about worshiping other gods and idolatry, I mean, come on, Brent. Guys, if we're not careful, we can do it all the time, can't we? Think about it. Maybe we can worship the god of prosperity and materialism. We can bend our knee to the false god of health and wealth or our career. Sometimes we can become duped into relationships and worshiping those relationships and the security that we feel in our family or our closest friendships. And those aren't bad things, but whenever it gets in between us and our worship of the one true God, it can become idolatry. It can become false worship. Which is why we need to make sure that we are plugged into the source, the one true God. Now, this one true God is a God that we can get excited about. There's football games yesterday, there's football games today, there's sporting events, and we have no problem cheering on the home team, do we, everyone? We love it when the Bulldogs win. But sometimes we struggle to cheer on our love and our adoration for our God. Notice what Scripture says in verse 1. We are to shout for joy to the Lord. That word literally means in the Hebrew language to split the ears with a sound. Now, I'm not asking for you guys to come in here with your air horns and your shofars and start doing that during worship, right? That's not what I'm talking about. But what I am saying is that we need, I believe, to ensure that we're giving God the proper due that he deserves. And a lot of times we become so self-conscious of worship that we all of a sudden start thinking about what other people think than about what God thinks about our worship. Sometimes we're a little bit nervous about our voice if it's very good. I want to remind you, the Lord says, make a joyful noise. It says nothing about how good of a singer you are. Sometimes we think, am I going to clap on 1 and 3 or 2 and 4? I don't know about that stuff. But what I do know is I just got back from spending time in Europe. And when I was in Europe, I saw some of the most beautiful churches and cathedrals I'd ever seen in my life. And they had two things in common. One is when I walked into every one of them, it said, shh, be quiet. And number two, the only people there were tourists, nobody else. And I started to think to myself, is America going to follow Europe like we sometimes do in the secularization, the post-Christian nation that we're becoming? Is it possible that could be happening? See, sometimes we forget, but the spiritual barometer of our faith is tied to our worship of our God. So the question is, are you charged spiritually? How's your worship? Now, I'm going to meddle just a little bit, and I'm going to apologize, and you don't have to hear me again for another year. So let me just go ahead. You got that? See that? Next year is like in 2 days. All right, so get it. Brent's funny. A lot of times what we'll do on the weekend is we say that we're prioritizing our worship with God, but we're just trying to slip them into our schedule. I mean, think about it. A lot of times on the weekend, it's like, oh, man, we got to do so much this weekend. We got to go to this. We got this party, and we got this, like, we got to go here to this travel thing. I got to clip my toenails. I got all these things I got to do, and I try to find in which one of these worship services can I fit into my social schedule. And I'm just going to say, this is the God of the universe. And the fourth commandment is that we're to keep the Sabbath day, what, everyone? Holy, set aside. I think a bit along the lines of like what Dave Ramsey would say. He would say a couple things. He would say, you can make more money, but you can't make more time. And if you're going to have a budget isn't counting the money and where you spent it. No, a budget is pre-deciding where you're going to send your money. And if we have a time budget, we need to prioritize where we're going to invest our time on a weekend. Let me encourage you to commit to a service, a time, and a location, and commit to it. You cannot be spiritually charged if you're not committed and connected to the local church. Scripture says, do not become like some of those who get out of the habit of worshiping together. It's a big deal. And since I'm meddling, let me go ahead and say another thing. To worship and to make it a priority is to be on time. Early is on time. Some of you didn't realize, but we actually have music before the message. I know, this is a shocker for some of you. Because you're just beginning to kind of think about coming to church. And once again, I'm not kicking the dog. I love you guys. I'm preaching to the choir. You all are here. But I know is that you, most likely, if there was a movie that you were looking forward to, you would want to be there on time early to get a good seat, would you not? You would never come late to that. I mean, you would never be late to the doctor. The doctor would be late to you, but you'd never be late. Sorry, doctor, I'm pointing at you right there. Never been late to me this year. Anyway, you would never be late to the doctor because you'd still have to pay for it, but you wouldn't get the service. My point is why would we be late to God? And while I'm meddling, why would we leave early? I mean, we get ready to say amen. People are making decisions for Christ. They're getting baptized. Lives are changing. And we can't wait to get out of here and go to Taco Bell. Guys, great things are happening in our church. Lives are changing. And sometimes I feel like the busyness of our life becomes idolatry. Heard Rick Warren say one time, if the devil can't make you bad, he's going to make you too busy. We've got to prioritize our worship. So what am I saying? I'm saying is I love the fact that our online attendance is double this weekend. I love the fact that there's a lot of you here in this service. But we need to make sure that if we can physically be in a church, that we're there. And that we prioritize it. And we'll get charged spiritually. Are we done? We're done. Okay, Deffenbacher, number two. Here we go. This one's going to be a lot quicker than the last one, and I hope to get a lot fewer rolled eyes, okay? If we want to stay spiritually charged this next year through worship, we need to serve. If you would write down that word, serve. Now, some of you are thinking, where in the world do you get serve out of this point right here? Well, I'm glad you asked. Verse 2, worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. Now, a little fun fact about the languages in the Old Testament that they were originally written in. The New Testament was written in Greek. The Old Testament was written for the most part in Hebrew, a little bit in Aramaic. Now, in the New Testament in Greek, if you've ever studied Spanish, the Greek language and the Spanish language conjugate the same way. So you can take a verb and you can make it mean a lot of different things in both the Greek and Spanish. But in Hebrew, the whole concept of the phrase has the meanings of the word. And so in this particular phrase, though we're looking at worship, this whole idea of coming before him is actually an act of service, or like going to work. I don't know if you ever thought about this before or not, but when we serve God, we're actually worshiping God. And for you to be fully charged in your faith and for you to worship God, it means that you are serving God. If you're not, then you're not fully charged. If you think about it, you are inside of a worship service right now because somebody is worshiping out there through serving you. That was better than the response that you didn't give me right there. My point is that worship and serving and worship are one and the same thing. Now, I don't want to step on Pastor Dave's toes. He's going to talk about this in a couple weeks. But with that said, if you look in your bulletin, you'll notice in 2 weeks we have something called a serve tour. It's going to give you an opportunity to find a way to serve here at Cross City. We'll even get you finding places to serve in our city and around the world. I promised you I'd be quick on number two. Number three, not as good. It's going to be a little bit longer, but it's going to be all right. Number three, if we want to worship God, we need to experience God. We need to experience God. Now, verse three here says, know that the Lord is good. Everyone say the word know. Know. You love that word, don't you? I just love to say no. Now that word know is, at the root of it is where we get the word knowledge. Knowledge. And that really is what worship is. It's understanding who God is. And there's a lot of different ways that we can get to know God. One of the primary ways that we can get to know God is intellectually. We have a word, God's word. It's his revealed truth about who he is. And as we begin to know who he is, we have an intellectual understanding of who he is. But then there's a secondary way, and it is an experiential knowledge. It's when it goes from just being our intellect and our knowledge to where we actually begin to see him for who he is, and we begin to allow our hearts, it's our mind and our soul and our body and our strength. It'd be the difference between reading God's word in black and white and the red words where Jesus speaks, and when you get an opportunity for a bucket list to go to Israel and open up your word on the Sermon Mount and read the teachings of Jesus. Or you go to the old city of Jerusalem, or when you go to the Dead Sea. It's to know it, but then it's to experience it. And for some of us, that's the next step that we need to take. We need to move this next year from just an intellectual knowledge of who God is to really experiencing him for all that he wants us to know about him and experience him. You see, the more we know God, the more we'll experience God. And the more we experience God, the more we'll know God. The experience of God, when we experience who he is when we begin to elevate and charge ourselves spiritually with our worship. And to do that, it's risky. To do that means is that you're going to have to be willing to move from sitting in a seat to getting into a circle and doing life in a community. You'll begin to experience Christ that way. And then when you begin to really say, man, I want to grow, just not as a believer in Jesus, not just as a follower of Jesus, but as a disciple of Jesus. See, the mission of our church is to make more and better disciples. The reason why that's our mission is because that's the great commission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to go, and as you're going, I want you to make disciples, teaching them all that I have taught you and baptizing them name in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and surely I will be with you always to the end of the age, to the empowerment of my Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be fully alive in Christ, to be fully charged, to be plugged in when we're experiencing God for who he is. One of the primary ways we're now doing that at Cross City is through an experience that we call rooted. This idea of being rooted is this idea of being rooted in Christ. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of you have gone through this, and it's not a class, it's an experience. It's a discipleship experience where you begin to allow the internal rhythms of Rooted through prayer and fasting, through reading God's word, through serving, through breaking down strongholds. When you begin to allow that to change you from the inside out. We're going to be sharing this with you for the next couple of weeks, just how you can get connected next year in Rooted. But let me share a two-minute video with you of four people who went through Rooted just a couple of months ago.
Going into Rooted, my biggest concern would have been not relating with my group. For me, it was more about knowing, like, in that group setting, that I could trust the people that I was in the group with, that I could really be transparent about things I was going through and things I was struggling with.
I got invited to join Rooted for some good friends of mine. I didn't really know anything about Rooted when they asked me to join. I just figured it's another growth group opportunity.
I was hesitant because I thought, well, do I have enough time in my schedule? Or I'm really gonna really go through this transformation process.
I had never really prayed out in a group setting before, and doing that in Rooted really, like, for me, lit a fire in me. You know, I came out and wanted to pray for the group or pray for people in the group. Through Rooted, I was able to find a lot of peace and a lot of strength.
The transformation that happened right away, the connection with the people in my group, was phenomenal. I felt I was in a safe place to share.
The great thing about Rooted is that it's for everyone. It doesn't matter where you are in your walk with Christ, or doesn't matter, it's not about how much you know about the Bible or how much you know you don't know, or it doesn't matter what level you were on.
I was able to form the relationships that I wanted. We laugh together, we cry together, we're family now. We are gonna continue meeting even after Rooted. We are gonna have a life group together. We're gonna do life together. We're gonna have those relationships, and I'm in a really good place now.
My biggest takeaway in this is that God is in control. Nothing in this world surprises him. He's not asleep at the wheel.
If you're at all considering doing Rooted, if it keeps popping up like it did for me, pray about it. Remember that God is here and he's saying, trust me.
If you're thinking about Rooted and you're a guy, single, married, high school, older, you got to get in here and do it.
It doesn't matter where you're at in your relationship with God. So if you come in on the fence with Jesus, that's okay, because this might be the push you need to get to the other side.
And I feel like I want to say, and if you go through Rooted, we'll also throw in a set of steak knives. You know what I mean? I want to, like, I'm like, it's that good. I'm telling you, almost without exception, everyone who's gone through it and who's finished, I was like, man, that was a game changer for me. A lot of times when I get to meet you out in the courtyard or in the community and you say, man, Brent, it seems like who you are on stage and who you are in person is like the same person. I need you to know that the reason why you sense that is because you're experiencing Christ rooted in me. I've been changed through this, and I'm continuing to be changed through this. And I want to challenge you to make that decision as well. You've got your connection card. You can write Rooted, circle it. You can sign up on your app. You can talk to one of our pastors in the back after the service. I would love to see you make that as your spiritual next step this next year. You will have a fully charged faith. There's limited space, but I encourage you to really prayerfully discern if that's your spiritual next step. All right. Hey, before I share this next point with you, I just want to acknowledge the fact that sometimes you'll hear people talking about worship, and for those of you that are more cerebral, you're more intellectual, it makes you feel very uncomfortable. Because they'll say things like, for example, man, worship was great. I really entered into the presence of God. Have you ever heard that before? And you're like, man, I was in the room and I didn't see God. I didn't feel the presence. I know the smoke machine was going pretty good, but you know, like, where was this presence of God? And I want you to know that it's common when you're new in your faith, you don't know what that means. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to experience this with you and say, hey, this is what it can look like. Here's some more of the nuts and the bolts of what it means for us to experience God in worship. So if you're taking notes, number four in your notes is that it starts with really thanksgiving. It starts with thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. See, culturally, I think we as Americans, especially here living in California, we're super comfortable with gates, not so comfortable with courts. Gated communities, good. Traffic court, bad. Divorce court, bad. Gated community, good. But culturally, thousands of years ago, if you knew that you were in a kingdom and there was a king and he lived in a palace, to get into the courts of the king, you would first have to go through a gate. And then you'd be in the presence of the king. In the same way, we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And scripture says that a key to our worship being true and authentic is hearts of thanksgiving. And it shouldn't be hard for those of us living in California, those of us living in the West, those of us living in the U.S. to be thankful because we're so stinking blessed. Can you say amen to that? We are. We are so blessed. But when we listen to our prayers, oftentimes the very first thing that we ask for is, God, would you please bless me? I don't know if you know this or not, but as Americans, we will eat more in one meal than the average person on this planet will eat all week long. The nutritional value. We as Americans are blessed. If you went to sleep last night and heat came on and it kept you warm, you had it better off than most of the world that fell asleep last night shivering. If you woke up healthier than you were sick, you were better off than the 1 million people who died last week. Worshiping today without feeling harassed or persecuted or tortured, you are better off than 3 billion people that took their life in their own hands to worship today, globally. If you have food in your refrigerator at home, clothes on your back, roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are wealthier than 75% of the world. If you have a checking account and even loose change in your pocket, you are richer than 92% of the world. You are in the eighth percentile of wealth in the world. If you can read the words on the screens behind my back, and if you can fill in and type words on your phone, you are more educated than 775 million people on this planet. You are blessed. Will you say, I am blessed? Guys, we have so much to be thankful for. And when we are thankful, it is one of the keys to being authentic in our worship before God. I've heard it said that thankfulness is the melody that brings joy to God. That thankfulness is the spark that warms the heart of God. Because we have so much to be thankful for. And when we are plugged in with hearts of thanksgiving, it warms the heart of our God. The last point that I want to share with you of these five would be this. It would be that we need to praise the Lord. And those are kind of synonymous, and I'm going to explain this, but when we are thankful, it gets us into the gate, but when we praise, it gets us into the courts of our God. I'm going to enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. I'm going to give thanks to him, and I'm going to praise his name. There is something about a thankful heart that warms the heart of our God. He loves to be appreciated. He loves to be thanked. He loves to be worshiped in that way. And you do too. When you give a gift to somebody and they write you a thank you note, it makes you feel good, doesn't it, everyone? And it makes you want to be generous in the future to them as well. And God is the same way. He has blessed us. And we just want to say, thank you, God. And there's a word in the Hebrew, it's called the word halal. And it's the root of that word hallelujah. And it literally means to be thankful and joyful with great hearts of appreciation. We are so, so blessed. And the scripture says that we are going to praise his name. And that word praise can be translated bless. That we will bless his name. And we are blessed. And the worship is not for our blessing, but is for the blessing of our God. God wants you to be blessed, church. But I need to tell you something, that when we worship, it is not for our blessing, but it is to worship and to bless him. Can I hear an amen to that right there? Guys, our worship is not for us. It is for him. And in scripture, nowhere does it say anything about style. It doesn't say that God only loves contemporary worship, or he loves classical worship, or he likes Southern gospel or Northern gospel, whatever kind of worship that we like. There is no style, but there is a theology, and there is a soundtrack, and the song that we will all be singing with the angels forever will be holy, holy, holy. Is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is, and what church and is to come forever and ever and ever. It's more than a style. It's more than a preference, because our God and our God alone is worthy of our praise. Our Lord is good. Say, God is good. God is good, and his love endures forever. Our God is faithful. Say, faithful. Our God is faithful, and he never breaks a promise. And our God is awesome from generation to generation to generation. So if you caught nothing else that I said, I want you to catch this. My goal for you, a next step that we have for you at Cross City, is that, like, unlike ever before, that you would make worship the top priority for your next New Year's resolution. That you would literally take your life and you would say, I'm going to plug into you, God, in a way that I've never done before. And it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable. It's going to change a lot of how I've been spending my time, but I can't think of a better way to do that. And for a lot of us, if we're only plugging into God once a week, then we're going to become spiritually malnourished. If you only ate once a week, you would starve to death. But yet that's what we do, if we're lucky. I just want to remind all of us that we have to, obviously, we need to make worship a priority, a time and a place and a point, but it has to become bigger than just coming to a worship service or watching online, but it has to impact our life daily. It has to become the rhythm of how we live our life, because we don't come to church to experience worship. No, we bring our worship to church. And then we take it with us, and we worship as much on Monday as we did on Sunday. Guys, when we leave the church, we don't leave our worship at our church. No, we take our worship on the road with us. As I prepare to close, and as the band comes out to close us in a final song, I want to tell you about a story that I heard recently about a girl that was going to her first day of kindergarten, and the mom asked the little girl after the first day of kindergarten, she's like, hey, honey, how did you like school today? And the little girl said, Mom, it was fine, but it's probably not something that I want to do every day. And I love the honesty of that response, because probably none of us want to go to school every day. But truthfully, there's some of us that we kind of just want to leave worship on a Sunday every once in a while. But everyone, we've been called to worship God every day. Every hour of every day. Not just on Sunday morning, but Sunday night, Monday morning, and throughout the day, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday. Worship is more than a song. I've not even talked about songs. Have you noticed that? Worship is about our life. It's about our priorities. It's about being plugged into the one true God. It's about acknowledging that we're prone to wander, that we're prone to fall for false gods, but acknowledging here and now, God, I am so thankful. I praise you for who you are. I want to experience you in new ways. I'm so in love with you, God. I want to worship you for the rest of my days. At the end of the day, that's all that really matters. And everything that we're going to talk about in this series is not going to make any sense unless you take the important step, and that is make sure that you plug in to who God is. If you've never done that before, if you heard the Christmas message this year and you didn't respond, I want to say today's a day of salvation. Today's a day that you can plug in to God's plan for your life. And that is that he wants to spend eternity with you in heaven. He doesn't want you to be separated from him, but you need to acknowledge a sinful desire that you have to be your own God, and yield it to his desire for you to be recipients of his grace, unmerited grace, by what he did on the cross, that you could receive that. And when you do receive that and you're plugged in, it changes everything. Your operating system, your software, your preferences, for the better. For some of you, you need to be reminded again that worship has kind of become not as charged as it once was. And you need to be encouraged to become worshipers in spirit and in truth this year. Or some of you, you need to go public in your faith. You need to go public and be baptized. For some of you, you just need prayer. Some of our pastors, some of our directional leaders are going to be coming down here to the front. Whatever spiritual decision that you need to make, I don't want you to leave here today. This could be the best day for the rest of your life. So if you would, at this time, please stand to your feet. Worship with Jake and the band as we have this last song. Whatever spiritual decision you need to make, I encourage you to not miss out on this opportunity right now.